catch up tonight and catch up some more after church, and we'll just see what the Lord has for us here this service. But I've had this message kind of on my heart. I've heard it not too long ago and told my home church. I thought it was probably going to be for them in the next week or two, but feel like we should do it tonight. So maybe it was meant to be here. Who knows? Only the Lord does. This was obviously before Rudy called me, so I didn't know I was coming here when I told him that. So maybe it's just what the Lord's got in plan, but we'll just have to see. But if you would turn your books tonight, your Bibles tonight, to the book of John, chapter 21. We're going to look at the end of the Gospel of John. So John chapter 21, we're going to read verses 15 through 19. I've done this before, I don't think here though, but it's been probably about a year or so, or if it's been that long. But I just had this on my heart, and it's touched me and helped me a lot, and I know it'll help somebody tonight as well. So we'll just pray, if you'll pray with me, that the Lord will do great things tonight. But let's read first, and then we'll open up in prayer. So John chapter 21, starting at verse 15, going through 19, it says, "So when they had dined, Jesus said to Simon Peter, 'Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou more than these?' He saith unto him, 'Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee.' He saith unto him, 'Feed my lambs.' He saith unto him a second time, 'Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me?' He saith unto him, 'Yea, Lord, thou knowest I love thee.' He saith unto him, 'Feed my sheep.' He saith unto him a third time, 'Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me?' Peter was grieved because he had said unto him the third time, 'Lovest thou me?' And when he had said unto him, 'Lord, thou knowest all things, thou knowest that I love thee,' Jesus said unto him, 'Feed my sheep. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not.' This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, 'Follow me.'" Let's pray this evening before we're seated. God, I thank you again just for a chance to be here with your people tonight. And I just pray, God, above anything else, that your will is done. God, Lord, that you would speak to hearts. Lord, that you would touch in ways only that you can. And God, that you would move in only ways that you can. God, Lord, this thing that we come to church and seek after week, this thing that can't be explained but only can be experienced, God, I'm asking for one of those again tonight. Lord, that's one of those feelings that we just can't explain to somebody except for to tell them to come experience it for themselves, God, and that is the move of your Holy Spirit. So, God, and as we've sang and we've tried to lift up your name in song, and Lord, we just pray that your Holy Spirit does works tonight. We pray it in Jesus' holy name. Amen. You can go ahead and be seated. So here we have the end of the Gospel of John, where we see that Jesus has been crucified and he has risen again. And in fact, this is when he is coming back before the disciples, before he's finally ascends back to heaven. And he's sitting here, and we kind of skipped over a little bit of the good part, but that's because we'll go back and cover it real quick. And the disciples don't know what to do. Jesus has been killed, and he's been rose again, and they kind of know this, but they've been following Jesus around day after day and night after night, and Jesus has went with them every step of the way for the last three and a half years, and they don't know what to do anymore. They know Jesus said to continue on, but they don't know what that looks like. They're not sure where to go from here. And so we can see that, well, what does Peter do? Peter likes to call himself the leader, the head of the church. He might not call himself that, but he'll take the first step. And so Peter says, "Well, I'm going fishing." Why? Well, if you'll remember, Peter was a fisherman before Jesus turned him into a disciple. He says, "I will turn you into fishers of men." Well, Peter doesn't know what to do, so he says, "Well, I'll go back to what I've been doing." And if you'll remember, Jesus changed his name from Simon to Peter. So we see that Peter goes back to acting like Simon before he met Jesus. This is how Peter is now trying to act. He's trying to act like Simon. He's trying to act like the old man, the person that he was before he met Jesus. You see where I'm going with this? Don't get too excited. I'm not as short-winded as I used to be, so we ain't there yet. But Simon says, "I'm going fishing. I'm going back to what I'm used to, what I'm comfortable with, what I know how to do." You see, Peter was an excellent fisherman. He was Terry or Dad or somebody who knew where the fish were, somebody who knew how to catch a fish or two. If they didn't catch a fish, it was a bad day. See, this was a professional, and it wasn't just that he'd done this to make some money or to do this. This was how he made a living before he met Jesus. If he didn't catch fish, he didn't make money. He didn't have food. He couldn't provide. He couldn't provide for himself, much less a family. This was Peter's lifestyle. It was fishing. He says, I'm going back to it. It's what I know how to do. And what happens? We say that they fish, and they're fishing all night long. And it's, you know, it's waves are rocking back and forth, and they bring up a net, nothing in it. Well, they'll toss it out again another hour or two later, bring it up again, nothing's in it. You skip to just about a verse or two before we start reading, you'll see that they didn't catch a fish. Not just a small amount, not a handful, not even a little old bluegill or something like that. No, they didn't catch a thing. And then they see this figure, a man, walking along the shore, and he says, hey, cast your net over here on the other side. And you got to be thinking, because you know it's Peter. He says, who is this man to tell me how to fish? See, this is a man who's fished for 30, 40, 25, however old Peter is at this time, fished for a long time. Who is he to tell? Who's this man on the beach that's not been out here fishing to tell him how to cast a net? Where to fish at? He says, I know how to do this. I've been doing this for decades. What happens? They throw it over to the other side, and it's got so many fish in it, they can't lift it up. They have to bring the boat back to shore just to get the fish up into the boat or on shore to finally be able to see and touch them. But then here's the kicker to it all. Let's go over here, and let's start reading a little bit more. We'll backtrack just a little bit. And let's go on with verse 10. He says, and Jesus saith unto them, bring of the fish which ye have now caught. So Jesus is saying, hey, now they know something's up. Well, when you ain't caught a fish all night and a man tells you to throw it to the other side, now you got so many you can't pull it in. They know something's different about this. He says, bring them in. And Simon Peter went up and drew the net, land full of great fishes, 153. There were so many, yet not was the net broken. Jesus said unto them, come and dine. Come and dine. You know what they were dining with? Fish. Peter's thinking that stinker over there. He said, I've been fishing all night, and he's got a fish on the flames right now, and he ain't been out here all night fishing like we have. He said, it's been cold, it's been wind, we've been beat to death by the wind and the waves, and we've been out here, and I've been doing this for a long time, but I ain't caught a fish, and Jesus has got a fish on the fire. Ain't that like Jesus, though? You say, well, what do you mean by that, preacher? That don't make no good sense. You're right, it don't, but that's what Jesus is like. He says, because what you've been searching for, I got it. He says, what you thought you could go do on your own, ha-ha, no, you're not. You ain't going to catch a fish tonight, Peter. You're not going to do anything on your own, because guess what? You can't do nothing on your own. You can't rely on your own strength. That's the whole lesson Jesus is trying to teach him right before he finally goes back up to heaven. He says, Peter, it ain't about you. It ain't about what you know. It ain't about what you can do, what you're good at, whatever you think and whoever you think you are. He says, Peter, you are not Simon anymore. Remember that name change? He says, you're acting like Simon. He said, you're not Simon anymore. You are Peter. You are to be the rock of the church. You are to be a leader of my people. You are to be a foundation upon which this church is going to get started on. And here you are acting like Simon. How many times do we think we can go on our own strength and say, oh, yeah, I want to go back to acting like Simon. I want to do what I can do. I'm good at this, and I'm good at that, and it's never failed me before. It won't fail me again. The Lord just seems like he's got his back turned against me, so I'll go back to doing what I was doing, because guess what? It's the one thing I know how to do, and guess what, honey? It ain't going to work very long anymore, because Jesus is going to show you something and say, hey, you might have been good at something because I gave you a gift for it, but I can take that gift away. Simon was good at catching some fish, but Jesus can take the fish away. You see where we're going tonight, church? It don't matter how good you think you are, how smart you think you are. Lord, you've got this one thing just figured out, and nobody else is going to do it better than you. Jesus can say, not today, because it ain't you that you're doing it for. It ain't you that allowed you to have that gift, that allowed you to have that strength, that allowed you to get up this morning. It was me. But these fish. Now, we can go through, and we've all heard the different sermons, I'm sure, about how he talks about, do you love me? And he's talking about, Peter's referring back to Phileo, and he's saying, like, I love you like a brother. And we've all heard this before. And Jesus is saying, no, I want you to love me like there's nothing else. You see, because when you love something or somebody like there's nothing else in the world, you forget about everything else. If you love your spouse like there's no other spouse in the world, guess what? You've got a good relationship because you're not distracted over there. And, hey, she looks pretty good. Or, hey, he looks pretty good over there. He's nice and cut, and he's more fit than you are. You know that? And no, there ain't no more of that because you have an unconditional love for your spouse. And see, Jesus is saying, I want that, but even more, he says, I want everything. You think, well, where you get that? Well, let's go back to the basics of the Ten Commandments. Love no other gods before me. Hey, guess what? A God's not just Allah, Buddha, Muhammad. It's not. This can be your God. Uh-oh. Step on a few toes tonight. That's all right. Mine got stepped on too when I heard this, so it's my turn to do a little stepping. Guess what? This can be your God. This can be your God. Money can be your God. Your phone can be your God. Your TV can be your God. That book can be your God. Anything that takes away time from our Lord and Savior can be your God. You think, well, that might be a little silly. Well, people sit here and will bow down and worship to a golden calf that they made. You know, yeah, let's read the Old Testament. They made it and they said, yeah, that's God. What kind of sense does that make? They just sat here and made it and said, yeah, that's God. There's people like that. We say, when you go over to another country where they don't have cell phones, they say, why do you spend so much time on that cell phone? But we don't have an answer for it. It's just part of our culture now. But guess what? We'll sit here and scroll through it for about 3 hours, and what have we got done? Nothing. Hit a few likes, caught up on some few rumors, caught up with what's going on in everybody's life. Hey, somebody over here made a nice cake, and what has that got us done? What have we accomplished? Anything? No. Anything that takes up your time, your energy, anything that fills your mindset is your God. What you sit and breathe and think about all day long is your God. You sit here and think about how I can scroll through Instagram, or I can scroll through Facebook, and I got to get through that Facebook marketplace because there's a deal, or if I ain't watching, somebody might get it before me, or LSN, or we go on YouTube, or you go on anything that's not taking or putting our focus on God. If you ain't careful, that will be your God. You will start acting like Simon instead of Peter. You'll start acting like the old man instead of the born-again creature in God, in Jesus Christ, the born-again believer. Say, we're not called to, you know, accept Christ and go back to just what we were doing. No. Not one place do you find that. This right here is a perfect example of that. Jesus is saying, what are you doing, Peter? What are you doing? In fact, he don't even call him Peter the first few times, does he? He calls him Simon. Why? Because that's who he's acting like. If Jesus was to walk in here, he'd be calling us by a bunch of names. We wouldn't know what it means, but he says, it's because you're acting like somebody that I called you. You're not acting like who I called you to be. You're acting like somebody else. You're acting like the old person you were 2 years ago before you was a Christian, or 50 years ago before you was a Christian, however long it's been, it don't matter. We're all fallen creatures. We're all susceptible to temptation and to sin and different things like that. And if we ain't careful, we'll start scrolling. We'll start worshiping other gods. We'll start doing other things that take us away from the building up of the kingdom of God. See, what we're called here to do, church, is to continue to grow the kingdom. Now, does that mean everybody's got to go out and we've had a great couple come to our church who are missionaries, and they're actually just arrived in Bulgaria. And does that mean everybody's got to go to Bulgaria or Haiti? No. But everybody's got a job to do. I've got a job to do, and the Lord has told me that is to go. And right now it's Pastor Antioch Free Will Baptist. So it is my job every Sunday that we are there to get up and to bring the word to our church. And then what's the what happens then? Does it stop right there? No. At least it shouldn't. But you want to know the sad fact about it all? that's where it does stop for a lot of churches. A preacher get up here. I'll get up there at Antioch. Brother Rudy can get up here on Sunday morning, or somebody can get, Seth can get up at Cookeville Church, and some they can preach their heart out, and we can do everything that God has told us to do. And then there can be a lot of Sundays the church will just good service. We'll see you next week, brother. And they don't the service, the message, the spirit don't go with them out the door. That's a sad reality, church, and I'm not here to pick on Sparta. I'm not here to pick on Antioch or Cookeville. I'm telling you, if we were to go do a survey and look around and you just notice about how many people will come to church week after week and then they're no different the next week. There's no growth. You know what church is about? Growing. Coming together. Why? So we can build each other up. What do we read in, I believe it's in Philippians, I might be wrong. But where do we read about growing one together, sharpening iron, sharpeneth iron? So does the countenance of man. You want to grow as a Christian, you need other Christians to help you grow. It's like, I don't need to go to church. I can watch on Facebook, I can watch on TV, and I can watch on these. It ain't the same. I think we can all agree on that. You come out tonight, even with all the bad weather we got. I'm proud of everybody here, but guess what? It don't end here. That's the whole thing I'm trying to get across tonight, people, is the gospel doesn't end at church. Peter wanted to stop when Jesus left. Jesus was not in the picture physically anymore. He wasn't walking with them. He wasn't saying, all right, now it's time to go to this city. Now it's time to go over here. Hey, I got to talk to this person over here, and you'll see why in a minute. Just because Jesus isn't physically in the picture anymore doesn't mean that it's over with. Doesn't mean that the church just stops. Because a lot of times we want to come to church on Sunday, and we stop Sunday night at 7:01. Guess what? I'm going to hold you to 7:02 now. No, I'm just kidding. But that's how we'll treat it. The gospel will stop in our churches when the time hits for us to go home. We won't go on. We won't read what the preacher read and continue to dive deeper and try to understand it better. Or Wednesday nights when we got our Bible studies, we don't prepare for it throughout the week. We'll just, well, the teacher's going to teach us, and whatever happens, happens, and I'll try to learn. And guess what? Why do we do that? Our schedules are slam-packed. But whose fault is it? Our own, yours, mine. We got too many things going on. We say, well, I can't read my Sunday school lesson. It's just, you know, the kids and work and this and that and, you know, and just got chores. Does that count enough for God? You want to say that to Jesus' face when you step foot in heaven? You didn't want to read His Word because you didn't clean the house or because you had work and, hey, guess what? We only work so many hours a week, usually. You go home, hopefully, every night. What are you doing when you're at home? Hey, what are you doing when you're at work? Bible says, pray without ceasing. Last time I checked, you can still pray at work. You can still pray at home. You can still read your Bible. You can pray at lunchtime, or you can read your Bible at lunchtime. You can spend time with God at lunch or at home. And, hey, that's where church is really supposed to start, if we're being honest, is at home. But that's a different sermon. What are we doing with our time? Church, what are we doing with our time? Are we trying to enjoy it, the things that we got, and the things that will disappear when we're gone? Spend that money that we got before it's gone? Say, I've just got a few breaths. The Bible says life is but a vapor. I got to enjoy it somehow. Well, that's not what Jesus says we're here to do, is enjoy life. He says you're here as a pilgrim. You're here just passing through. You're here to get a job done. You can rest at home for an eternity. Uh-oh. Some people don't like that. I like to go home and kick my feet up. Yeah, I do too. But Jesus says you got a job to do. Now, does that mean you're all the time going, going, going? Well, not exactly, but I think we could all put a little bit more time in. I think we could all pray a little bit more, a little bit longer. And guess what? Prayer isn't just, God, I need this. God, I need that. This person over here is sick too. And Lord, I need this. And God, this person over here could use a little bit of healing. And this person ain't been in church for over a year. And we bring a grocery list is what we do. God, I want this. I need that. And this needs to be done. Amen. Now, if you read how the Bible describes prayer, that ain't it. But how many times do we do that every day? God, I want this, I want that. He might bless us and give us a lot of our wants because He cares about us and He loves us that much, but He's more interested in people that need Him, people that could use a little extra help, people that could use a Christian to come by and come talk to them, but we'll say, God, I want this and I need that. Prayer is also, God, what do you want me to do? What would you have me to say to this person? I know you, I've just had this feeling that I need to talk to him. How do I talk to him? How do I start that conversation? And you listen. Remember that old saying, two ears, one mouth, listen twice as much as you talk? Yeah, we don't do that with God, do we? We want to keep going. God, I want this and I want that. But we don't spend time to hear what he's got to say to us. You know, he'll talk to you, maybe not like how I am, but you'll know what to do if you put in the time to listen, if you put in the time to be close to him. But no, it's God, I need this, I need that. I got to go, I got something to happen next. Why? Cause that schedule's catching up with us. I got to be somewhere. God, bless this food, amen, and we're on with our day. Where's our time going? We want to get caught up. And what we've got going on that don't even matter. Jesus is telling Simon Peter, he says, Simon, son of Jonas. That should have been the first clue. He ain't called him Simon in years. He said, Simon, Simon, son of Jonas, Simon. He knows his name's not Simon anymore, but yet he didn't even realize what had happened. He didn't even realize what was going on. Why? Because he's too caught up and he's too mad and he's throwing a fit. Jesus has a fish on the fire and he didn't catch one all night. Why? We get mad at God too, don't we? Yeah, don't even lie to yourself or lie to God. He's listening. We get mad at him sometimes. We shouldn't, but we'll say, God, why did this happen? Why'd you let this happen? How could you do this? We've all been there at least once. Peter's saying, God, why? How could you do me like this? How could you embarrass me like this? How could you do these different things? But Jesus is trying to show him what's really important. It's not the fish. It's not your job. It's not your relationship with your friend over here. It's not your status on Facebook. It's not this. And it's not anything else you want to wrap your head around. The only thing that is important is what you can read in here. You read through these Gospels, especially the book of John, he talks about how great Jesus is. We should take after that. We should try to tell other people how great Jesus is, how wonderful he is, how merciful he is, how graceful he is that he will save a sinner like us and give us a job to do and give us purpose. But yet it's, Lord, I got to take care of this and I got to do my job and it's excuses. Church, I've come here tonight to tell you that the excuses won't work on Judgment Day. Those excuses ain't going to get you one pinky toe closer to the gates because he sees through it all. He knows your thoughts. He knew exactly what Peter was thinking. You think he had to ask these questions to find out if Peter really loved him? No. He knew exactly how Peter felt about him. He knows exactly how you feel about him. He knows exactly how much time you've got, what you're doing in your free time, how much you really care when you're spending time in prayer. Are you doing it for habit? Are you doing it just when the church does it on Sunday morning night and Wednesday night? Are you actually reading the Bible? Or are you just doing it Sunday morning, evening, and Wednesday night? He knows all of it. You ain't got to say a thing. That takes me back, I believe, to the last time I was here over at Psalms 139, to search the heart. He doesn't search the heart to know. He already knows. He'll search to show you. He says, do you love me more than these? That's the first question he asked me. Do you love me more than these fish? What he had been searching for all night long. I mean, all night long. You know he's tired. You know he's exhausted and frustrated and mad. And because we know what a temper Peter had. He says, do you love me more than these? Jesus is asking us the same thing. He says, do you love me more than this? Do you love me more than your wallet? Do you love me more than that job, than that status, than this or that title? We get caught up on titles a lot. Do you love me more than this? Do you love him more than your fish? I don't know what your fish are tonight. It could be your job. It could be your phone. It could be your time or whatever. It could be your bank account for all I know. I don't know. It don't matter to me because I don't have to answer for it and I ain't judging you for it. That's God. That's between you and God. Just like it's between me and God. But he's asking you the same question tonight. Do you love him more than your fish? You may already know what your fish is tonight. You may say, yeah. Didn't have to say it twice because that's God saying, yeah, here it is. Let me shine the light on it real quick so that you can know. He already knew. He says, but now you know. But here's my question that I'll go ahead and start to close up with tonight. What are you going to do about it? He's saying, do you love me more than these fish? Or are you going to say, yeah, like Peter did? Yeah, I love you like a brother. We're good friends, you know. I can sit here and say, I love Daniel, but I hope it ain't the same way that Kyla loves Daniel. They're husband and wife. Me and Daniel's good friends. She should love him a whole lot more than I do. But yet, I can say, yeah, I love you. That's how Peter meant it. He said, yeah, I love you like a friend. Jesus says, I don't want that. That ain't good enough. He says, you need to love me like there's nothing else. He says, you need to love me more than these fish that you spent all night trying to get chase after and didn't get a thing. Guess what? After an hour or two, I'm pretty much done. That's why I can't hang around these two for all day. They'll go till the sun goes down like Peter chasing them day all night. Peter was chasing all night, even though he didn't catch a thing. He kept going after it, going after it, going after it until he was so far gone he didn't even realize what Jesus was talking about. He saw Jesus on the shore and at first didn't even recognize him. When he spent day after day with him for years, he should have known right then. So there's something different about that man. I know who that is. That's familiar. But no, he was acting like the old person. He didn't recognize Jesus at first. He had to come back closer to him. Are you close enough to recognize him? Or are you so far drifted out from the shore chasing after your fish that you see Jesus and you're like, I don't know. Something's different, but I ain't too sure what it is. How far are you from seeing Jesus tonight? How long have you been chasing after your fish? And when are you finally going to give up and do what he said? Because your fish don't matter. Your phone don't matter. Your Facebook don't matter. Your bank account don't matter. Your job don't matter. What matters is trying to bring other people into the kingdom of God. So guess what? Why do we do that? So they don't have to spend an eternity in hell away from God. That's a pretty big deal. We try to water it down. It's a big deal, church. That's an eternity. We can't wrap our heads around that. We know it's forever, but we think 10 years is forever. We think 50 years is forever. That's nothing compared. We are trying to save souls from eternal damnation is what we're trying to do. That's what we're called to do. Are we doing that? or are we chasing after fish? If you would stand, we'll have an altar call of invitation. Heads are bowed. We're not going to have any music or anything. We're just going to spend time with the Lord tonight, if that's all right. Maybe you've been too busy chasing after fish, and you need to come back to God, come back to the shore, come back to Jesus. He's right here waiting for you. He's not went anywhere. He's right here. He's saying, come to me. Come back to the family. Leave those fish behind. You don't need them. They don't matter anyway. They'll be gone tomorrow. Do you need to come back home tonight? Maybe you've been acting like Simon instead of acting like Peter. You've fallen back into old habits. You've fallen out and you're just falling back into the old temptations and back into the old man and back to old habits. And maybe it's time to say, Lord, bring me back to acting like Peter. Bring me back to somebody who's on fire for you. Reignite that fire in my soul so that I can be on fire for you again. Lord, maybe you need that fire reignited tonight. If anyone needs to come at all, the invitation is here. His heads are bowed and we begin to pray if you need to come. Lord, I thank you again for what you've done for us tonight. Lord, I thank you for the service that we've had here. And I just pray, God, Lord, that above anything else, Lord, that all souls here have come to accept you. Because that when it's all said and done, that's the only thing that matters. It doesn't matter how much work we've done, how much money we've made, how many friends we got. No, Lord, it matters. Do we know, have we accepted the blood of Jesus Christ? Has it washed away our sins and made our slate clean again? God, and I thank you for those that have. And Lord, if there's some that needs to come tonight and get just another boost, another step forward, Lord, did you just give them a little boost forward to reignite that fire in their soul? Lord, God, say they're falling cold and they're getting weary and they're kind of backing off from the church and they're not doing everything as quiet as often as they used to. Lord, just ask you bring them up tonight to kind of get a boost back. Get that fire going again. Help us reading all the time. Help us studying your word. Lord, help us to learn and grow in you. And God, I just pray above anything else, Lord, that we not chase after the fish, but we chase after you. We don't get our eyes set on the wind and the waves like when Peter was finally acting like Peter and he was chasing after Jesus on the water and he was focused upon you. But Lord, then he got distracted by the wind and the waves. Help us to not get distracted tonight or any time in our lives. Help us to get back on the straight and narrow path to you so that we can be drawn closer and we can finally help bring others into the family of you, Jesus Christ, Lord, that we can be grafted in. Or if there's one that needs to be grafted in tonight, let them not leave this place until they are. Until they've accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior. All these things I pray in Jesus' holy, precious name. Amen. Go ahead and